Hey, this is WTOP's Jason Fraley, and we are being joined by just take turns, just say your names and your titles.
Diamine Dalspech, the co-founder of the African Diaspora International Film Festival.
Abby Ginsberg, the filmmaker behind Judging Juries.
Yes, and we are talking because the African Diaspora International Film Festival is going to be coming to DC at George Washington University from August 2nd through the 4th. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
Okay, so before we get into the lineup itself, big picture stuff, like, is this the first time this is being held? And also, is it like, I believe it, I thought I saw it's like based, is it based out of New York and then DC is just like a separate location, or how does that work?
The African Diaspora International Film Festival is a festival that appeals to film lovers of all colors, age, and sexual orientation. And those who are interested in the richness and the diversity of the human experience of people of color all over the world. It was born in New York in 1993. And we now have editions in Chicago, Washington, D.C., and Paris, France. So in Washington, D.C., it's the 17th edition. And we are doing it in partnership with the Africa World Now Project and the GW Africana Studies program.
Gotcha. Okay. So it's been like over 30 years total, but this is the 17th edition in DC.
Exactly.
Okay, great, great. And is it always held at George Washington University, or has it shifted locations over those 17 years?
It has shifted location over the years. We were at National Geographic for some time. We were at the headquarters of the Trans-Africa Forum for some time. We were 1 year at the Museum of Women Museum. So we've been traveling. We've been at GW, I think, for 7 or 8 years now.
Okay, great, great. I'm trying to remember, is it the Lisner Auditorium? I think that's what it's called.
No, so it's the amphitheater, and it's at the Student Center on the
Ah,
fourth
okay.
floor.
Gotcha, gotcha. All right, cool. Well, without further ado, let's go into this year's lineup. Just, don't feel like you have to run through all 3 days all at once. I'll tee them up. Let's tee them up day by day, chronologically, individually here. So on the first day, August 2nd, which is there a film or two you want to highlight, like an opening night screening or something like that?
Yeah, absolutely. So for opening night, we have the film Breaking Boundaries, which is the story of Nastasha Generalova. She's the daughter of a Russian mother and an African American father who is part of Team USA for rhythmic gymnastics. And the story is about her. Really, the filmmaker takes us by the hand for us to discover her life as she prepares to compete for the 2020 Olympics. And we see her difficulties, her challenges, and what it means for her to be the first Black athlete in her sport to compete for the Olympics. And she'll be there. And so we have a opening night reception, and we have the screening, and then a discussion with her. And then Mother Suriname is from also on Friday is about the history of the colonial reality of Suriname, viewed through the eyes of the grandmother's daughter. And then we have a classic from Tunisia called Business that was in Cannes in 1994.
Awesome. Okay, and then day two, and sorry, Abby, I'm not sure which day you're in, but when we get to it, we'll have you jump in.
She's in day two.
Okay, perfect, perfect.
Which day am I? I don't even remember.
Okay, perfect. What day is it? What even day is it? All right.
So actually, day two is a day of reflection on issues of identity. And we start the day, Saturday, August 3rd, with a fighting white supremacy in Brazil, with a lineup of three films that deal with the issue of politics and racial identity in Brazilian society, starting with 1964 when there was a coup d'etat until today. And then we have Fighting White Supremacy, the African American Experience, short films, and Abby's film is in that program.
Fantastic. Well, then that's the perfect time for Abby Ginsberg to jump in. I know you're director and producer of Judging Juries. So what's the basic premise of Judging Juries?
Well, the basic premise of Judging Juries was I wanted to answer the question of I live in Berkeley, which is in Alameda County, and so I am part of a jury pool that includes Oakland, California, and there has been a noticeable lack of African American and Latino jurors in the jury pool, not to say nothing of actually on the juries. And so I kind of went out to figure out what happened here. In my earlier life, I was a criminal defense lawyer, and you could get a diverse jury in both San Francisco and Alameda County. And today it is much harder. So one of the things that the film sort of reveals is the problem with juror pay. In California, we get a potential juror gets paid $15 a day. So right there, you see what the financial hardship is for people who are working and for whose employers, since there's no requirement for an employer to pay for you to do jury duty, there's just a huge financial hardship that people face. It costs more than $15 to park. It costs more than $15 to commute. It's insane. So that led me to, to kind of look at the question of what is the issue around the issues that are keeping people from serving on juries and what can we do about it? And to just take this one step further, one of the things that I discovered, literally did not know about it when I was making the film, is a program in San Francisco where they raised philanthropic dollars. So let's say they raised $150,000, which was designed to enable people who needed additional funds in order to serve on juries to get paid $100 a day. And lo and behold, that worked. And juries in San Francisco suddenly became more diverse because the people who couldn't do it for $15 a day could sacrifice a little bit of their pay, for getting paid $100 a day. So we saw a major shift. The story that I'm telling is a national story. And I think your listeners should know what people get paid in Washington, D.C., which is actually much more generous than it is in many states. In Washington, D.C., people get paid $57 a day for jury service. So it's not as absurd as it is in California. And if you get paid by your employer, you actually get a few dollars for commuting. You get $7 a day just from doing your jury service. So things in D.C. are actually a little bit better than they are in California. But
wow.
Taking this to the last step, which is, people have a constitutional right to a cross section of the community reflected in their jury, and it is not happening. So if you have, largely older white people who are on retirement incomes, who aren't, working for a living anymore, that doesn't necessarily reflect the experience of a poor African-American young man who's being charged with a crime and is planning to go to trial. So I just felt like this was a personal thing for me. I just felt like this was an issue that needed to have a spotlight shined on it. And I'm delighted to be part of, the film festival in DC. This will be a DC premiere for the film. And, I won't be there, but I really hope people will come out and see it and, think twice about how they feel when they get the next jury summons, because this is a really, It's we are endowed with power as a result of having trial by jury in this country. They don't have it in almost any other country in the world. And I feel like people need to appreciate how important that power is and how important it is to show up for jury duty when you actually get a jury summons.
Wow, so. That sounds fascinating. That's going to be a great film. And I want to remind people, folks, Abby is a Peabody winner. For you won, what was it, for Soft Vengeance?
Yes. So let me just say that the African Diaspora Film Festival showcased Soft Vengeance. So I have, and that film came out in 2014. So I just want to give a shout out to the African Diaspora International Film Festival for having been a screener and a supporter of my films for many years. So I encourage, they do a great job of curation. And I would really encourage people listening to this show to look at the program and pick a few films. You will not get to see them easily any other way. And this film festival is a unique opportunity, to learn about some things that you may not know about in depth.
That's perfectly said. Well put. And just to follow up real quick, did this festival also showcase your Oscar nominated one, the Barbara of Birmingham? I believe that was an Oscar nominated.
Yeah, it was Oscar nominated. That was in 2012, and I don't think so.
Okay, but the Peabody one, Soft Vengeance, definitely.
The Peabody one got it. Definitely. Yes, and let me just say they are going to be screening another film of ours in Paris, a completely different film called A Double Life, which traces the story of a young progressive lawyer who was accused of bringing a gun into George Jackson in 1971. And when six people were killed in the prison uprising that happened on that day in 1971, he went underground for 13 years. And so this is a kind of interesting story about how, back in the day, you could actually leave the country. Today, we wouldn't be able to get out because there'd be a million ways that they would check our eyes and our fingerprints, and they would say, no, you're not going anywhere. But then, you could actually go underground for 13 years. And this is his story of being underground and then coming back and standing trial and ultimately being acquitted.
Gotcha. All right. Well, we'll keep an eye out for that too coming down the pike. But first, everyone check out Judging Juries at the African Diaspora Fest here in DC. All right. So that is day two. And then we should close out with day three on, what is it, Sunday, August 4th? What do we got that day?
Oh, so we start at 10 a.m. With a film that was also at the Cannes Film Festival last year called Nome from Guinea-Bissau. It's a very important film from Africa, and it also shows that African cinema today has really come far since it premiered in a major film festival, one maybe of the most important festival in the world. And it's a beautiful film that people should come out and see. Then we have Claude Maquet from Harlem to Marseille, a portrait of the writer from the Harlem Renaissance. The Wall Street Boy is at 2:30 p.m. That's a wonderful thriller set in Kenya. And then we have another highlight is I Heard It Through the Grapevine, a restored copy of a film with James Baldwin, who goes to the South in 1984 to go back to the places where civil rights movement efforts were strong. And he analyzes and reflects on the impact of the civil rights movement 20 years later. That's at 4:30 p.m. And the closing night is called One Person, One Vote, ? And it talks about the Electoral College. And we'll have the director to explore what the Electoral College is and the roots in the history of slavery in this country that is at the root of the Electoral College today.
Thank you for highlighting that. We'll have to watch the movie to see sort of the true history of why the Electoral College began. And, I guess I'm sure debating whether or not it should still be around.
Yeah, exactly. Some people want it gone, others don't.
Exactly. Awesome. Well, I have more than enough to work with. I guess sort of in closing, pretend I'm not here and you're talking directly to our listeners, Hey, invite them on out. Hey, DC, come on out to the film festival at GW. Yeah, you won't regret it. Whatever you want to say.
I would encourage all your listeners to really take a strong look at that program. It is a fantastic program of really important films that you won't get to see anywhere else. And it's a way to spend time in an air-conditioned theater in the middle of the heat of August. And I say, come on out for the African Diaspora International Film Festival. You won't regret it.
Awesome. Hey, thank you both so much for taking the time with us today.
Thank you for having us.